Well, welcome everyone. This is Carol. I am so glad that you came to the first book launch. And I'm talking because Annie seems to be a little busy clicking away.
All righty. Just had to make sure that that we were recording on my end too, Carol. So we're ready to go. Before we get into the official presentation, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Annie Chiappetta. I will be interviewing Carol Farnsworth, who is here tonight to talk about her new poetry book called Leaf Memories. And I wanted to go over a few housekeeping items. So right now, people are going to be muted upon entering. And I have my co-host, Deanna, who will double check to make sure you're muted for the duration of Carol's presentation until we open for questions. So we're going to have Carol and I talk for a little bit, then we're going to open for questions after we're done. And once we open for questions, I'll go over the keyboard commands for muting and unmuting and how we're going to handle people wanting to ask questions, et cetera. So welcome everybody to Behind Our Eyes, the first ever book launch with Carol Farnsworth.
Thank you for having me, Annie.
So Carol, I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction for you. As long as I can get to my document. And my computer is not cooperating. So hold on 1 second. What are we doing here? There we go. Sometimes a computer is not your friend. Okay, so here's a little bit about Carol. Carol has worn many hats. She's been a speech pathologist, a musician, dancer, actress, artist, and traveler. Now she's turned her hand to writing. Carol and her husband, John, have lived in a small town in western Lower Michigan for the past 30 years. They have one married daughter, and what Carol calls her grandkitties. Carol started to write essays and poems in 2018 to tell about the light side of blindness. Her blog titled Blind on the Light Side puts a humorous spin on living with blindness. While she has experienced a gradual loss of sight all her life, Carol still sees the laughter and joy in living. Her writing has appeared in The Avocet, Plum Tree Tavern, Magnets and Ladders, Breath and Shadow, Spirit Fire Review, and The Handy Uncapped Pen. Carol is a regular contributor to The Blind Perspective and the Newsreel Audio Magazine. In addition to tandem bicycling with her husband, Carol enjoys creating felted art animals, cooking, and working in her container garden. Everybody, please welcome poet Carol Farnsworth.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You did that well.
Oh, thank you.
I couldn't
so
have
much.
Said it myself.
Is there anything you want to add to that?
Oh, no, I think that encompasses it for tonight.
All right.
Oh, can I leave now? No, probably
no,
not.
No.
Actually, you're staying for a while.
I will okay. add that Carol was featured in the 2022 APH calendar, selection of her felted animals as one of the calendar pages.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little while. So Carol, I read your poetry and a couple of the poems stuck out to me, struck me, but at this one, I want to start off by reading Fairies.
Okay.
Because it was just, it really gave me, put a big smile on my face and made me feel just so warm and peaceful. So I'd like to start off by reading that. Silent flight brushes my hand. Gossamer wings tickle my upturned palm. Tiny feet search for sweet juice on my fingertips. Then the fairy lifts in flight. Butterflies, like fairies, have no time to waste. So, Carol, do you believe in fairies?
Oh, I believe in the magic of nature, whether it takes the form of a fairy or a sprite or a gimp. I think nature in all its forms is very magical, and I see fairies in everything, even with my limited vision. Yes, that particular story came because I wanted to go to a display of butterflies, blooming, they call it, and it was in a garden. Well, you try to catch a sight of a butterfly flying around. So I went early in the morning when they were still resting and cold. And one of the docents saw me trying to get close to a butterfly. And she said, here, dip your fingers in this and stand still. And that's when a fairy or a butterfly came for a moment and sat on my hand. So that's where that came from.
That's beautiful. I felt the touch of a butterfly in my hand, and it was just so magical, something so simple. So thank you so much for writing that and for sharing.
And that was my very first poem that was published. And that propelled me to try it again and again.
So it was magical.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. So how about, you said that nature inspires you. What else inspires you to write? Is it hearing a conversation, behind you, or something that might have happened during the day? How do you develop the ideas that you write about? Tell us a little about that.
Well, a lot of my ideas actually come from my friends and fellow writers. They'll say something. I particularly like Abby's six-word, stories that she said. Put something down in six lines, either a poem or a story. And I always am inspired by those. I can't always do every single one, but I try to do a lot of them. And other writers put things on the website. Also, just people that I meet seems to inspire me to try and compose or create something. Most of the time, I'm hearing people in there, they're a little down, they're a little upset. They can't quite do things. And that's why I want to inspire people to know that they can do it. They can, and get some fun and joy out of creating. The whole process is just a kick in the butt to me. I just love it.
I love the way you describe stuff. It's great. You mentioned other people like Abby and the writing prompts and everything. How much has being a member of or being involved in writing groups helped your poetry or helped your creativity in any way?
Well, we're told that writing is a solo adventure, and it is so nice to have a group of people who are trying to do the same thing and collaborate with them and learn from them. I'm sure I learned much more from them than they will ever get from me. But I think it's very important to have a group, whether it's online or whether it's a group of friends that meet or just some people that telephone each other. You've got to have that support group to write well.
I agree with you there. And I totally disagree that you don't inspire others, because you definitely do inspire others. I just want to let you know that.
Thank you.
Especially me. Because sometimes, like you said, you do, writers are all in their head all the time. Well, most of the time. And hearing other people's voices and narratives and the way they speak or the way they express something is inspiring. So so thank you for that answer. I think it's important to get us out of our heads.
And make you laugh.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Like, you know, not, you know, be humble, like, you know, don't take yourself so seriously. Wow. So let me ask you at this point, what are you more comfortable with? You're more comfortable with reading something, or you want me to get, you want to save your readings for the end? I will leave that up to you.
Oh, well, I'd like to do one or two readings, or at least talk my book, why I put it, the poems the way I did, and then I'll read one or two of them. How's that?
Oh, sound? I think that's great. Yeah, that would be perfect.
Okay. Well, my book is divided into four parts, and I started with summer, and I ended with spring, because I wanted the two resting section seasons to be in the middle. So I was a little different there. And each section starts with a picture that actually my husband took. And I noticed that they just mentioned what the poem or the picture is. So I'm sorry to say they didn't describe it. So I'll do a quick description. In the summer, it says it's called Burnt Over. It's a burnt forest with little seedlings coming up in green. In fall, it's the same picture as the front of the cover, which is my daughter as a toddler hiding in the leaves. Winter is a picture outside our back door looking at the woods with the new fallen snow. And spring is called Sugar Bush, and it is me making maple syrup in the sugar bush area. So with that, I'd like to give you an example of a small haiku or poem that I usually started the section with. And this is for summer. Dandelions. Wild flowers. Picked in my youth, sun bouquet. So I would put two or three of those to start each section. And then we would go to a regular poem. And one of the summer poems is one that I've always enjoyed. It's called Benediction. I take my coffee to the porch to listen to the silence between cricket chirps and bird songs. Soon a glow is seen in the east, and I hear a distant solo of a bird song, followed by another, and then a third. The chorus swells. My coffee cools as the sun warms my cheeks, and I smile at this morning benediction. The end.
Beautiful.
So Abby, you can, I found after I did all of several different poems, I must drink a lot of coffee, because it always seems to end up in my poetry.
So if you want to, if it's meaningful question for you, then that's what you do. Sometimes it's coffee, sometimes it's tea. it's whatever is inspiring. for us. Yeah. I like the comparison that you have in those two lines between your cooling coffee and the warmth of the sun. Yeah, that really brings it home to me. I can totally picture, you know, sitting, you know, on the porch or the patio or whatever, and just being with the day. And I think that's such a peaceful feeling. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I always like the special time that the evening noises just stop and the sun isn't risen. There is a time of silence there. And it's just very special. I don't think many people hear it.
I agree with you. I think about how to capture that silence with words. And I don't think, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it in a way that I believe that's been achieved completely. I especially find that the silence differs from season to season. The way the summer sounds come to you through the window is different than the way the winter sounds come to you, or the spring sounds, or the fall. There's got to be something inside of us that really that it resonates with, or we wouldn't notice it so much, you know. So if you get to write that poem, Carol, I want to read it.
I'll try.
Yeah, I'm going to try too. That should be our challenge.
Good.
Maybe we should write one together. That would be cool.
That would be interesting. Sounds of silence. Oh, that's a song already.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll name it something else.
Oh. Well.
So you want to go on to another poem, or do you want to do some more questions?
I will do one more poem and then can do something else, because I think people have some other ideas. Okay,
sure.
This one I enjoy doing very much. It's a one I did last year. It's called Handout. A curtain of snowflakes flutter in the wind gust, obscuring the landscape into a quiet dreamscape. A shadow of movement is seen in the woods. A brown squirrel searches for, a brown rabbit searches the squirrel dish. Disappointed, he turns to drink from the water trough. As the curtain parts, I watch him return to his burrow. Carefully, I walk outside to put some carrot greens in the dish. The end.
No.
I have my squirrel and rabbit mixed up there.
How much wildlife is around your house at any given time?
How many animals outside or inside?
Outside, I guess. The wild.
They're all over the place. We feed we even warm the water. We warm the water so they have a drink in the winter. So, you name it, we've got it. Everything from deer down to mice.
Yeah. Aw. Well, I know we have a lot of bunnies around here. They come out a couple times a day, and the dogs don't even like care about them anymore. They just look at them like, yeah, whatever, and walk away.
Do you feed them, or do they?
No, they're wild. They eat the grass and stuff around here. But we're careful not to put like harsh chemicals or anything around. Like, you know, we even have animal friendly stuff that we put on the grass, you know, because we have a lot of dogs around here, so, and cats.
Well, I think we'll take a break from reciting now. And okay. You want a question or?
So yeah, I'm going to ask a couple questions here. What other creative crafts do you make? And tell us a little bit about that part of your creative life.
Well, both Linda Lambert and I are artists and sort of have a competition in the Insight Art Contest by the American Printing House. She and I are in the same division. And I have to say she's placed higher in the last 4 years than I have. But my two tableaus were in the Insight Art Contest calendar to her one. So I guess we're sort of neck and neck. We're both still doing a art piece this year.
Yeah, congratulations to both of you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do knitting and felt it, which is shrink it, and then put them together. My best one that I won first prize for was called Blind Date. It was two pigs sitting at a table with drinks. The girl pig had a guide pig under the table, and the boy pig had a stick, a cane, and they were looking at each other adoringly with their mouths open and talking. So that did quite well. Somebody wanted that in their collection, so they bought it.
Excellent. Excellent. So do you create for the tactile part of the felt and the, or is it more visual or both?
I create for both. I wanted my art to be touchable because so much of art, the blind can't get anything out of. So if they can go up, they can feel my art. If they want, they can pick it up. And I think that and it's also very visual. I run it by my family, the rest of who can see, and they make it suggestions to make colors and such. But I want it to be as accessible as possible for as many people. Yeah.
Wonderful. So what other projects have you done or that you're working on the crafty side?
Oh, well, you guys will all like this. This year, I am doing one that was inspired by a story that Alice Massa told me. She said that she was in at the last time she was at the guide dog school, and three of them were coming back to the school, and the dogs were all splayed out on top of each other, sleeping. And each head was on the butt of the dog next to him, sort of a triangle. And I'm trying to make three different guide dogs with the harnesses and trying to put them in that tableau.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
So we'll,
I will buy it.
I've got the description that is in of the picture on the January page of the APH Braille calendar.
Yes,
it says Knit Wit Felted Animal Tableau by Carol Farnsworth, an independent artist from Ada.
Independent just means that they're an adult.
Yeah, a knitting sheep and napping ram rest at home.
Thank you, Deanna. That's great.
So obviously the sheep is knitting something and the ram is sleeping.
Well, the joke is there, and the reason it's called Knit With, it's supposed to be a play on dementia. She's lost her ball of gray yarn, and instead she's pulling yarn from the butt of the ram. So, and she doesn't have a clue. She's sitting in her chair and he's sleeping on the couch.
So that's the tableau that was the picture
Thank you.
Of the January month.
Yeah, in the January one, and there's a little table between them with a little light on it, and of course the infamous cup of coffee.
Yes, that should be your signature, the little mug of coffee.
Yep. And she did knit for me a chocolate Labrador wearing a harness.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, Carol.
I was practicing.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. So where did you get all this craftiness from? Where did it come from? Like in your family, your mom's side, your dad's side? What?
Oh, my mom is crafty. My dad couldn't screw in a light bulb if he had to.
Okay.
Oh, he's a lovely, lovely man, though.
It's okay. You know, we all have our talents. Yeah. All right. So I don't know, maybe I should have asked you in the beginning, but you know, there's one of those questions that we all probably should be asked, you know, in one of these presentations. It's like, why do you write? Could you get to an answer that maybe isn't what you think everybody else is or everybody else has already answered? I have a feeling that you have. Yeah,
I have a flippant answer. It keeps me sane.
It keeps you
sane. I have so much stuff in my mind. I've got to get it out on paper or on the computer, and then I can let it rest for a while. But I just have things that just keep popping up. Even in the middle of the night, I got to get up. Oh, gee, I got to go do this. But if I didn't have that, I think it would be a very sad and lonely existence. I just delight in the written word and in sharing it with others. There.
I love that answer. I do. Where did you get your sense of humor from?
That's from my father.
Yeah, that's from my father.
He's also... My father and both of my grandfathers were storytellers. So I get the little bit of the story from them, but yeah, my dad was a tease. He was always doing crazy things. So
yeah.
If you ever look up my blog, you'll see stories about him.
Oh yeah, we've read quite a few. I love your blog. I think it's great. I think it's a perfect avenue to keep those memories going, and to encourage them at many different levels. So let's see here. Who do you read? Who are some of your favorite writers? Who inspires you? You know, who makes your imagination take off?
Oh, I like Koontz.
You mean Dean Koontz?
Dean Koontz. Mm-hmm. I like the way he starts a lot of his stories with the Book of Sorrows. And he puts these little snippets in, and then he goes on to the story. I also like his stories because it doesn't matter how the good person may get beat up. In the end, he has a more or less a pleasant ending. Maybe not always happy, but a pleasant ending.
Yeah, like
something.
Yeah. Like a reconciliation of things happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's actually my favorite. For poets, boy, I like going back to the older Wadsworth, Longfellow. I like those. I read them and it's like music, listening to it.
Yeah. So the rhythm and the rhyming is...
Yeah, I wish I could do it, but I love listening to it, but I can't write like that. I wish I could.
I agree with you there.
Would you like another poem while you
Sure.
Regroup?
Okay.
I'm going to do the one that the book is named after. So it's called Leaf perfect. Memories.
Perfect.
Before there were leaf blowers, there were bamboo rakes. Before we bagged leaves, we mulched the garden. My daughter and I raked a huge pile of colorful leaves, heavy with musky, dry smell. I looked around. Where did Ruth go? Hearing a giggle, I saw her hiding in the leaf pile. Laughing, I jumped in too. We rolled, laughed, and buried each other in the leaves. Dad won't have to work so hard to mulch the garden this year. The end.
That's beautiful. Aww.
And since there's a picture on the front, you know this happened.
Yes, there's proof. There's proof that you jumped in the leaf pile.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get a picture of me jumping in the leaf pile, but you'd have to ask my daughter. I don't know if she remembers or not.
I have a couple of questions about some of the other poems. You have a poem called Old Growth.
I've got it under my fingertips right
now.
Do
you really? Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Can you?
Well, ask me the question first.
I wanted to ask you, you know, what inspired that poem? What were you feeling at the time or imagining or visualizing while you wrote that?
My father died, I think it's 2 years ago now. He almost made it to 100. He was working at it. So he was 99, and he loved to take his kids out to the woods. The boys he took hunting, me he just took on walks. But I think we all learned how to love nature through him. And this one I wrote right after he died. So he is the old growth that's mentioned in the poem. I'll start. Old growth. Old growth is precious, densely packed with rings of knowledge. End of the line, but not quite. Though the old tree is gone, the seeds remain. Not exact copies, but each having the strength of core. They grow tall and strong, surrounding the memory of the stump. The end.
That's beautiful, Carol. I love the metaphor in that. It means so much more than just what's on the surface. And thank you for reading that. That was one of my favorite ones in your collection.
Mine too.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah. And what about the poem Scary?
The scare?
Yeah. Oh, the scare. Yeah, sorry.
That's fine. If you want to rename it, go ahead. Okay. That one happened in a different way. John and I were riding on the tandem, and on the path, there was just one deer antler just sitting there. And I started to think about it. And I said, well, where's the rest of the story? Where's the deer? So that came out from thinking about the deer that lost the one antler. So you want me to read that?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
The scare. I look out on a moonless night to hear the wind rattle the last of the hanging leaves. Unseen voices of things lost in the dark, seeing better days. I step to the porch, discerning movement on the hill. Goblin? Spirit? Evening mist to emerge? Instead, a deer with one antler, weary from fall mating, searches for a bed for the night. I step back, closing my door to the cold callousness of the world. The end.
Thank you. Thank you for reading that. There's one line in there about the cold night.
The voices unseen. No, that one.
I think it's
a moonless night.
Yes, a moonless night. It just sets the whole.
The wind rattling the leaves.
Yes.
Unseen voices of things lost in the dark, seeing better days.
It reminds me of when we would go trick-or-treating. I live on the East Coast, always have. And, you know, there were sometimes walking down, you know, a street, especially when we didn't have to be chaperoned anymore. And you hear this skittering of the leaves across the pavement and stuff. And, you know, it's a little dark. And so it brought me right back to that. Those times where you try to have fun and trick or treat me while you're scared. I can't wait to get to that next door that has the light on it. You know, that's what it reminded me of. So thank you for bringing those memories to me. That was wonderful.
Good. Do you want questions? I'd like to end the session with alone with myself. So just
you want to read that now? Or you want to wait until? You might want to read that now, and then we get to questions because we have about 45 minutes.
Okay.
So.
Good. 57 seconds. Well, do you want that one?
I mean, not 45.
Reflections.
I'm sorry. We have 15 minutes. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. But I was hearing.
I was going to say 45. Yeah. Man, time is going slow. Okay.
I'll read this
and we can open it up to questions. Okay.
Perfect. Yep.
All right. Make sure I'm on the right one. Alone with myself. Morning breaks on a sparkle-filled woods. Carrying my poles and skis, I look for a place to sit. A long fallen tree trunk offers purchase. Jamming my poles into the drift, I slip on one ski, then the other. Using my poles, I stand up, ready to push off. The rhythm of the skis gliding makes a soft swishing sound in the quiet day. My mind is free to ponder as long-trained muscles take up the cadence of movement. I see a low-hanging limb and swerve to avoid it. Ice and snow crackle underfoot as I crest a hill. I tuck my poles under my arms and race down the hill to the frozen pond. The smooth, clear surface calls to me, but I turn away, not wanting to break through. Instead, I rest, letting my breathing slow and listen to the pulse in my ears. Worried thoughts vanish as I join nature as welcoming the sun. Taking large gulps of cold air, I feel renewed in body, mind, and spirit. The end.
Wonderful. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, I'll briefly run over what you need to do. When Annie started the recording, there is on that part of the page, there is a button that says, got it. It's just there for those on the computer or on a smartphone to let them know that they're being recorded and that you tap on it And then that will allow you to use Alt-U to see the other participants. And if you want to talk, in order not to talk over each other, I will be looking for raised hands. So to raise your hand on a computer is Alt-Y. On a Mac is Option, it's Command-Option-Y. On a smartphone, it's on the right-hand lower corner. There's a More button. Tap on that and then flick until you find the raise hand button and double tap that. To mute and unmute, it's a lot easier. It's on the lower left-hand corner of your iPhone or smart device. And to on the landlines, if you dialed in on a standard dial phone, to raise your hand is *9. To mute and unmute is *6. I hope that helps.
Thank you,
and
Deanna.
You don't have to find a got it button because there is one on the phone. Okay, so I will look down the list and see who's first. Okay, Carrie has her hand up. You may unmute Carrie with Alt A. There's another way to unmute too. You can hold the space bar down, and as long as you're holding it, you're unmuted. But you have to get that got it button first. Otherwise it won't let you unmute.
Why don't we go on to the next person while she's trying to figure that out.
Okay, the next one is an area code 215. And so if you wish, you may unmute. The last three digits are 125. I'm not going to read the whole phone number because that's not appropriate to just blast it out for everyone. And if that's a smartphone, you're going to have to find that darn got it button by tabbing or swiping down on the first screen that comes up. If you're having problems, sometimes you need to hang up and come back in because the recording was started after you came in. So sometimes it gets a little bit tricky. And we have a Tarai with her hand up. You may unmute if you're ready.
I got it. I got my.
Okay.
All right.
All right, guys. So Carol, first of all, I loved your presentation. I love the poems.
Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. I have a question about your art. You said it was felt in knitting. And you said you combine it. So does that mean you knit with felt yarn, or is it that you have knitting with like felt pieces sewed to it?
Good question. No, I knit a pattern or make up a pattern, say of an animal, and I make it supersized, size 13 needles. Then I go down and shrink it in my washer until it's the size I want. And the knitting changes into a cloth or a felted material.
When you shrink it, it becomes felt.
It becomes felt. You've all shrunk sweaters, I'm sure. That's felting.
Interesting. Yeah. And what do you play? You said, Annie said you're a musician. What do you play?
I play piano, guitar.
Oh,
not both at the same time.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you I just love your poems. They're so vivid and you feel like you're part of the action. So you keep writing, you keep it up.
No, I'm glad you feel that you're part of the action. That's what I was hoping for.
Okay, let me see if I can help this person.
Hi, this is Tara.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Carol. It's good to hear, you know, what you really, all the things you've been doing, and descriptions of where you live are just beautiful sounding and such. And I love your laugh. I've always loved your laugh.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So thanks so much.
Oh, appreciate it.
Okay, 215 is unmuted now. Ask your question.
Hi, Carol. It's Sally. I'm so glad you read Benediction, because that was my favorite poem in the book. What I think you really show is that your creativity meets the creativity of nature, and it becomes synergetic. There's just a place where you meet and you're able to describe it. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. It's not as easy to do without vision, but we all do that. We all handle nature in a different way.
Okay, we have a number beginning an area code 860. You may unmute if you wish.
Hi, Sandra. I was wondering if you have a particular process for your writing and what that is.
Ask the question again, sorry. I lost her.
Carol, this is Annie. Adelia from Brazil is trying to get in. She's on the chat right now.
Okay.
And it says Galaxy J5 Prime, Deanna. That's, I don't know if we can get her unmuted.
Yeah, I can see her.
Yeah.
And she is muted, but you can do the same *6. If you can do that on your Galaxy, you can use that too. You don't have to find the more button and all of that.
I'm still trying to figure out what the last question was.
What Sandra asked was, what is your writing process, I believe.
Oh, my process.
Yeah. Do you do something? How do you go about sitting down to write?
I usually give myself as much free time, and something pops into my brain and I have to go and write it down. But I don't have a set. I must write 15, 20 minutes every day. Sometimes I'll write all day. Sometimes I won't write one day at all. It just depends. I guess that's not much of a writing process, but it works for me.
Well, we've got to see if we can get these people unmuted because they're trying to say hello to you. We can't hear them. So
The Galaxy, I believe, because it is a smartphone, she needs to find that got it button and tap it, and then her mute and unmute will work. Abby has her hand raised.
Go ahead, Abby.
Oh, okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Carol, I just have a comment. My favorite poem from your book is, the title eludes me at the moment, but it's the one about you and John tandem bicycling in a thunderstorm. And you are, you know, concerned, oh, we're not going to make it. And he's telling you, pedal, pedal, pedal. I mean, that's exactly what would have happened because my dad and I used a tandem bike a lot. And that's what would have happened if we'd ever been in a, until I would have been the chicken. Oh, we can't do this. And he would just pedal, damn it. Excuse my bad French. But you know, that's what it reminded me. Just brought back those memories so much. That's my favorite moment. And that was all I had to say.
Peter Altschul has his hand up. You may unmute, Peter.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. But my comment about all this is that thanks, Annie and the gang for doing these interviews. What struck me about this interview, especially, was reading the poems out loud. You know, sometimes when I read a poem, it doesn't speak to me at all. But when I hear somebody else read it, it totally changes the way I hear or view the poem. That's the case for a lot of these poems. The way they're read makes it, for me, to my weird, warped mind, makes a huge difference. So I thank you for reading these poems out loud. They made the poetry really sing for me. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for saying that. And I'm just going to say, hi, Adelia. I'm glad you're there, even if you can't get unmuted. She's my foster sister from Brazil.
Oh, how beautiful. I'm sorry we can't get her unmuted and figure it out.
Yeah, I just sent her
I just sent her another one.
Ask to unmute signal so she can find something to tap.
Yeah.
Let's see if that works.
We are almost to the top of the hour. We have a couple of more minutes. So, Carol, do we have any other hands raised? Quick questions? If not, Carol, I want you to have the last word and tell people where to find your book.
All right. Well, I looked. It is still on Amazon for $7.50 in print. I did not see it on ebook, but it should still be on a Kindle for $3.99. If it isn't, I'm going to work on putting it on Bookshare. And it is available on Smashword. And I had discounted it, I think it was just last month, for only $1.61. But I don't know if they put the price back up. But those are the three places right now.
Oh, we got somebody through. There you go.
I finally found the sign. It's first time for me to use the Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Welcome. So
thank you. Thank you, everybody, for this experience. Very nice to hear everybody. And hear you, Carol. It's so nice to hear you and your laugh. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome. I'll write to you later.
Thank you.
I'm glad we could finally get it to work.
Yeah.
A wonderful ending. So
that was our international ending. Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Annie, for
you're welcome
hosting, and you did a great job. And we should say the next one is going to be Abby talking about her book on February 3rd at 8:00. And some strange person is interviewing her, but we'll find out later.
I wonder what her name is. I wonder.
I don't know. I just hope I do as well as you did.
Well, everybody, I want to thank you all for coming to our first Behind Our Eyes book launch. If you're interested in participating in a book launch as an author, please go to www.behindoureyes.org. We have information there to help you out. We require you to be a Behind Our Eyes member, but it's free and we love to have you. We have a wonderful enclave of writers with disabilities, and it's been nothing but a pleasure to work with everybody since I've known them. So thank you very much and have a great evening.
Good night.